Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, September 26, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I do have with me today my regular Monday co-host, Mr. Paul Edward Stevenson. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Richard. Great to be with you and all our listeners, as ever.
Absolutely. Yes, always good to have you here. And I managed to, for the listeners, arrange once again to have one of our UK Mondays here. We have Mr. Graham Sutherland here with us as well. Hello, Graham. Hey, welcome, sir.
Hi, Richard. Thank you. Yes, it's an honor to be here.
Good, good. Yeah, well, gentlemen, I don't know where we should begin. I mean, there's of course always updates lately in the war zone, but I hear about over in Italy, Meloni's right-wing alliance wins a clear majority in the Italian elections, but we've already heard veiled or perhaps not so veiled threats from the EU, you know, that they have you know, basically that they have means of, of dealing with things if the wrong party wins. This was before the election actually went through, and well, you know, it's questionable just how much they'll try to. I mean, like Hungary and Poland have been very much against a lot of this, you know, LGBT trans propaganda, trying to sell it to children and all this, have been against the excessive immigration. And well, Italy, I mean, could take more of the of the same to potentially further fracture the EU. But I don't know, it seems like they'll double down, you know. I mean, I think these people will do anything and everything possible to keep their EU you know, as much as they can, because it's centralization of power and wealth, isn't it? So I don't know if you've been keeping up with this Italian election, Paul.
Yeah, it's going to be a similar story up in Sweden as well. I think it has that already been established. There's a right-wing coalition in Sweden, of all places, because of immigration, but also the media is not reporting on it, of course, but across Europe, there's a tremendous unrest because of this this situation with Russia, because it's affecting the Europeans more than it's affecting Russia, and people are looking around and can see no reason for it. They don't see, a lot of people don't see Vladimir Putin, and in my opinion, correctly, as a threat. You know, he's been, how is someone who's keeping your lights on and keeping your homes warm a threat to you? Like I said before, if you establish these trade relationships, it means there's going to be much less chance of war. Putin has wanted peace with Europe, but Europe has no interest, or I should say those who control the United States and Europe, and we know who they are. So you have Europe's leaders acting counterintuitively to their own interest. I mean, it's insane to watch, and the people are, you know, rising up against it, and they'll continue to rise up against it, especially when, you know, they go through the winter. So you've got the immigration situation, obviously, and then you've got this situation with Russia. So it's only a certain few people, like we know who they are, that are bullying as usual the European leaders into doing their bidding and causing this absolute chaos and this unnecessary. It's such a tragic situation what's happened in the Ukraine and, you know, with Russia. The amount of deaths is just ridiculous and it's unnecessary. And of course, you had last week the speeches by Vladimir Putin and Sergei Lavrov at the United Nations, and, you know, it's very precarious because you have these other referendums now in those southern regions, and they're already they've already started. And if they turn out to vote for Russia like they did in like in the Crimea, well, then you've got a whole segment, and it's a big chunk, probably 25% of previously Ukrainian territory, which Russia now views as part of the Russian Federation. And if that's attacked, this is what Putin was talking about last night or last week, that he will use any means at his disposal to protect the Russian Federation. I think Ukraine is not going to be around at the end of this war. I can even see Poland wanting to reclaim, you know, but wanting to claim part of the Western Ukraine, and Russia making a deal with Poland. But the way this is heading, one way or another, I don't think there's going to be a Ukrainian, you know, state left at the end of all this. But it's incredibly concerning because, you know, when you're talking about nuclear weapons, and no one seems to bat an eyelid, you know. It's like you had the whole Cold War. Everyone is, oh, this threat of nuclear weapons. Now it's like, oh, Vladimir Putin, what are we talking about nuclear weapons? Oh, okay. And then they just move on. You know, there isn't the sort of coverage and the sort of anxiety around this and the sort of seriousness around this that there ought to be, you know.
Yes, and on a side note, a little more detail, what I mentioned earlier, it was European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, and she referred to these tools Brussels has. You know, she says Brussels has tools if wrong parties win. She said, we will see the result of the vote in Italy. If things go in a difficult direction, and I've spoken about Hungary and Poland, we have the tools. So, Graham, yeah. I'll send it to you, sir.
Yeah, I've been watching this situation myself, you know, quite closely. The Italian Prime Minister, well, the new one, she's certainly making a lot of waves, and she's right wing, you know, as was already said. I think there's a movement right, and I think it's, well, right across Europe, there's a movement right. And I think it's because people feel powerless, basically. They think, we, you know, we've got no, our vote means nothing. They're going to go and do whatever they want, because no one wants this war. No one wanted sanctions on Russia. No one understood the implications of just what exactly sanctions would mean, especially in Germany. The German industry has ground to a halt. Their foundries and whatnot have stopped because they don't have gas to run them. And that's a massive, big deal. It really is. So they've been backed into, Germany's backed himself into a corner. But it seems to be the same hysterical, cabal or media or whatever you want to call them, that drove the engine, the COVID nonsense. It seems to be the same kind of rhetoric, yeah, and nonsense we're getting from that. I really see that.
And the green agenda as well. I mean, yeah, they pretty much use the same tactics and try to overlap even some of the fear tactics, government spending and what have you, emergencies in, all three of these are trying to centralize wealth. Of course, the green agenda and the COVID agenda to centralize digital transactions, identities, and have power over you, of course, where you can implement social credit scores or whatever you wish. Cut off funding, at least to anything but necessities. If you don't like someone, you know, if they're too much against your political views or against just a threat to the establishment's views. But all three of these agendas, you know, and everything's being timed where once a steam starts running out from one, there's another to swoop up and keep the momentum going with no gaps in between. Paul.
Yeah, all that's true. And the reason that I get concerned about this nuclear situation is because What's scary about it is that there is no restraint on these people, and they're maniacal, and they probably want this war. So it's not like I don't have much confidence that it's ever going to get to the stage where they'll say, okay, enough's enough. This has got bad enough. We need to sit down and talk. You know, some cool heads need to prevail. I don't think that's going to be the case, and that's what scares me, because I know who we're dealing with here, and we know who runs the West. You know, when we talk about United States and NATO, you're basically talking about, for the most part, Jewish power and their prostitutes like Hillary Clinton and you know, Joe Biden and these other people who are happy to do their bidding. And they're out of control, and the economy's a mess. And if you remember, we spoke about it, you know, before, that my fear was that they might just, you know, bring the whole tent down, you know, and see where the chips fall. But how many people will die, you know, in the process of that? So, I mean, they're very precarious times. And as you say, you've got this green agenda, you've got the economy, you've got the energy problems exacerbated by the war on Putin, in a situation where you'd already had massive inflation, and that's before we get to the winter. And the EU is not going to last. I don't care what that whore Ursula von der Leyen says, or what power she delusionally thinks she has. You will see a succession of countries saying enough of the diktats of the EU. We want to survive. So you're seeing this in obviously Hungary. They've always been stood firm, stood their ground. You'll see it, you'll be seeing it in Italy if these people are for real, and you'll see it up in Sweden. We've already left the EU. There's only so much bleeding the EU can do before it you know, ceases to exist, and I think, to my mind, it's inevitable.
And Germany has been propping them up economically, manufacturing, for a while now already.
Yes, of course. I mean, Germany is a central power hub of the EU, with France and ourselves. And, you know, we've left, and Germany's it's heading towards its knees. Why is the EU going to survive? What do you think they're going to do? Just keep printing up money, printing up money, printing up money? Probably, but I mean, where's that going to end? More inflation.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the EU is basically taking a bunch of nation states and implementing communism amongst them, right?
Yeah. It's like, it's more or less like a slightly more sophisticated version of the Soviet Union. I mean, those poor countries in the ex-communist blocs in Eastern Europe, who thought they were going to the free, free liberal democratic West, they just went from the fire into the frying pan. The EU is just a Soviet lipstick, or a Soviet pig with lipstick on it. You know, it's bureaucratic, it has central planning, it's authoritarian.
Well, some expected more countries would have already followed after Brexit, this far gone. Graham, what say you, sir, on the future of the EU?
There was two countries before all this war rhetoric started. There was two countries. I think Italy was one of them, but there was two countries that were, making a lot of noises. And Italy was one of them, actually. They were making a lot of noises about, breaking the chains of the EU and the shackles and the bureaucracy and everything. You know, they were making a big play about that. Italy was definitely one of them. I can't remember who the other one was. It might have been France. Or maybe Spain.
Or could it have been the countries pushing back against the immigration, Hungary or Poland, perhaps? I don't know.
Well, Spain's having a rough time of it.
Yes. Yeah, and the Mediterranean countries, I hear, across the board are having trouble. But
even outside Europe.
Go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, even outside Europe, you keep hearing, from Western propaganda, that the whole world is against Putin, and that Putin has isolated himself and he's a pariah. The whole world? What are you talking about? United States and Europe? And half of the United States and half of Europe, and probably most of the United States, actually citizens, and most of the citizens, or at least half of them, let's say it's half and half, So you've got half of the UK and half the, or half of the Jewish West that are against Putin. Meanwhile, if you watch any of this stuff in the UN, they're all standing up against it now. They've got themselves organized. They've got China or who are against the Western hegemony and United States hegemony. You've got India who's refusing to condemn Russia. You've got the African nations who now recognize that to be, a puppet of the United States is not in their own interests, and that Russia are a much more benevolent force, and China are a much more benevolent force for all their faults. Go around the globe. I mean, who is this majority? I mean, it's like you're talking about massive amounts of, massive populations in these countries who are not condemning Russia. So this narrative is laughable,
Graham?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a much bigger groundswell of people changed their stance now that it's actually hit home, just what it's actually meaning. When people start seeing bare shelves and their energy bills going up by, 100% or whatever, you're going to see a completely different vibe. You're going to see a completely different attitude towards the war, and a bigger disconnect between the politicians and the people.
Yeah, and you look at the likes of India and the likes of the African nations. They now recognize, okay, who do we choose here between these, the United States and Europe, or do we choose Russia and China who are getting organized? And they feel more confident and more secure that the repercussions are not going to be so severe for them. Standing up to the Western hegemons, and so things have changed. People are, as the French would say, ça suffit, that's enough. There's only so much plundering and abuse you can take before you think, well, I'm going to get completely destroyed unless I stand up for myself, and they are right.
Yes, well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it seems like those who are pulling the strings want the entire economic system in Europe and America to come crashing down, manufacturing, jobs, just the economy altogether, as an intentional. I mean, I was listening to Robert Ravel before you last night, and it was interesting. He was reading from some Jewish extremists, if you will, from varying years, really. Some interesting quotes from the 80s, from the 50s. One going back far earlier, and that there are a lot of long-term plans, that these Jewish occult Talmudic elitist types have, China as well, for that matter. I mean, they really think about the long game in the way they plan to subvert.
So does Vladimir Putin is the problem, because they had long-term plans for the destruction of Russia as well. I'm sorry, they're going to have to shelve them. Didn't work out, Putin's just a little bit ahead of you.
Well, some of these people sounded very prophetic, because so much is occurring right now, just like the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. I mean, so much is occurring right now. It doesn't matter. You can debate what you will with them. There's a lot of relevance. You should refer to them more frequently, folks, in these times we're living in. We'll be right back.
Did President Biden admit a border problem? I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The Biden administration has set the record for the number of apprehensions at the U.S.-Mexico border in a calendar year and in a fiscal year twice. So far, more than 2 million arrests have been made this fiscal year alone. Yesterday, Biden said, "We're working with Mexico and other countries to stop the flow." Oh, working with Mexico like the previous administration had done, but you undid? Things like the Remain in Mexico program that you have fought in court to stop since taking office? Is that how you're working with these other countries, by bringing back all of the processes and procedures that you called racist on the campaign trail? It does seem that Biden has finally admitted a problem. There must be an election coming up. Find more political commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
The official narrative. Public Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with Paul Edward Stevenson and Graham Sutherland. Graham, would you like to comment on that, just these long-term plans of a lot of these, occult types, these elite occultist types? And then, of course, I did also mention the significance of some of these other cultures like China, but the protocols, you have to admit, I mean, more and more does come true in this day and age. It's almost eerie. I mean, compared to the era when you were a child, when you look now at how much more is coming to fruition in our lifetime, sir.
Absolutely. And you can see, you know, by their rhetoric, and just how they act, you can see that there's a lot more going on here than just, you know, the physical, the mechanics. You can see they're becoming spiritually polarized. The media in particular, we've seen the media just in the last two or three years, we've seen the media become just a circus. Mainstream media, I mean, it's just an absolute circus. And they're all using exactly the same cliches and everything. And every single channel and the U.S. is sponsored by Pfizer. I couldn't believe that. And we've got the Bill and Melinda Gates as a main sponsor of the BBC, the mighty BBC.
Yeah, no, that's one thing you've had over us in Europe there and U.K. for the longest time. We've had all these pharmaceutical commercials completely legal in the U.S. And, of course, for the shots, just the same. At least in that area, you know, in the past you've... you know, there's been a lot more discipline in Europe, but I mean, this whole green agenda, the whole COVID scam, and I don't know what is to come with these digital IDs, these, ID 2020, but it's certainly rather dystopian. And it's just a matter, though, of, you know, just the principle. If you just keep parasiting off various sectors and keep encouraging this completely anti-sustainable sort of philosophy. I mean, when you look at the loss of meritocracy, loss of morality, when you look at this, like we say, the communist parasitic nature of the EU, some countries sucking off others, until what? You know, I mean, complete serfdom with no middle class, with this technocracy, totalitarian technocracy. That's what many are suggesting it's trying to move toward. But at the same time, yeah, there's this spiritual level, there's this long-term set of agendas and this patience with some of these that it can take generations, like Robert was saying last night. And a lot of people just don't have the interest even or intelligence to pick up on any of this, to be able to see what's being done to our civilization. Well, back over to you, Paul.
Well, sadly, it always has to get bad enough. And yes, there's a small group of people who are trying to impose their will on the world, and you know, particularly the West. But it doesn't mean they're going to get away with it. Yeah, we've seen a lot of their plans come to fruition almost like prophetically, because they've had their own way for so long. But when you push people far enough, then the whole thing can explode, you know. And these people tend to, you know, it sort of devour themselves in the end, because they have no restraint. So you have Ursula von der Leyen, for example, still thinking that they've got, you know, ultimate power and everything else. But you're having people in Italy and Sweden and Hungary who are fed up with them. I mean, it's like she might think that she's going to do this and do that and, you know, reign forever, but it doesn't mean it's going to be the case. Things are getting bad enough now, and you're seeing unrest, you know, in the Czech Republic and some of the other Eastern European countries, in Italy and France. I mean, well, they're always marching. They're always on the streets in France anyway about something. you'll see it in Germany. The penny will drop in Germany when things get bad enough. And then you remove their representatives. You remove those who are supposed to be representing you. Eventually you're going to start to see real insurrections, like the insurrection in Sri Lanka. Was it Sri Lanka? Where it's like, we've had enough of this nonsense. And the masses go in there and remove them and put your own representatives in there and say, you don't represent me. You're supposed to, but you don't. And you're destroying me. And we're removing you. They're only a small group of people. You know, it's like over here when it came to immigration. Oh, we have some anonymous clown who apparently represents the EC, the European Court of Human Rights, telling us what we can do with immigration and how we can't send these illegals coming across the channel to was it Uganda? Well, just ignore them. What are they going to do? Declare war on you? Just ignore them, you know? It's just that we're not listening to you. We're looking after ourselves. Well, there's nothing you can do, you know?
Rwanda,
yeah. It's like, ignore them. But our government don't ignore them, because they don't care, you know, and they deliberately picked Rwanda knowing what would happen.
Well, we'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with co-host Paul Edward Stevenson, broadcasting from London, and Graham Sutherland, broadcasting from Inverness in Scotland. And I had been hearing, you know, gentlemen, internationally for that matter, a lot of scaremongering about the 24th of September this year. Well, we had various figurehead leaders. I remember one in particular in Europe. I forget the name, which it was, suggesting, from their sources, this and that. So, of course, many were speculating, well, it could, of course, be a false flag if some catalyzing event were to occur that were to start us accelerating one of these agendas or the war or whatever. I don't know, unless I missed a memo over here in the States. I don't know, Paul, Graham, have you gentlemen heard anything that actually happened worth a note on the 24th?
There was a lot of hype about it, Richard. In fact, some people said it was the 23rd. It coincided with a planetary alignment, a unique planetary alignment, and also a solar eclipse somewhere. A blood moon, apparently, but nothing happened as far as I know. Nothing cataclysmic, anyway.
Okay, or maybe the astrological significance was what really triggered it all along. And some people who follow these things, they want to see every single constellation incident occurrence of this type, some of these types, to have something correlate. But yeah, not always the case. Oh, we do have a lot of people, groups, who will pick a time for war, a time for deception, trickery, or false flags on a lot of these significant spiritual holidays or astrologically significant days. I mean, I know the IDF over in Israel, for example, a lot of their attacks on the Palestinians will be timed on a lot of these holy days or these, well, like the blood moons, of course, it's a great time for war over there in the Middle East with the, I don't know what you'd call them really. Sure. Like when I mentioned the protocols earlier, yeah, that's just noting significance of these people and their long-term agendas. But of course it goes back further than it predates Zionism. You know, I think a lot of this, of course, we have more ancient occult sects, and that's why I've referenced just occultist Talmudists, Talmudic occultists at times, for that matter. Paul, but I don't know, what else would you like to add?
Yeah, I actually hadn't heard about this false flag prediction, but it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to pull a false flag in one of the European countries and then blamed Russia, because they're up to their neck in false flags in Russia or in Ukraine, I believe. This atrocity propaganda, they're always blaming the Russians for this, that, and the other. And also this subscription thing, Putin's getting demonized for, bringing in subscription. So, you could be just an innocent person and you're brought in to be cannon fodder for Putin's, maniacal tyranny. This is nonsense as far as I understand it. These recruits, these reserves, they're all people who have already served at some point in the Russian military, as I understand it. And they'll be brought in and retrained again, and there's nothing new in that. Apparently, that's very normal in Russia. But the West has stirred up this hatred of Putin, that he's just going to bring in all these innocent people and bring them to the slaughter. And of course, the reason he's doing this is because he's losing the war in Ukraine, and now he's desperate. And I mean, these people, the amount of lying they do is just staggering.
Right.
And it's always. Yeah, it's always, they're always projecting their own crimes onto others. When you look at the beginning of the war in Ukraine, they wouldn't let a man under the age of 65 leave the country without serious consequences. But that's not what's happening in Russia. There's a very concrete structure in Russia as to how this happens. And what's happening now is Russia has went in there in the early parts of this war, and they've been very restrained. And they're going to escalate it now, where you're going to see the air power coming in. You're going to see the real Russian military come in. It's no longer going to be this special operation. You're going to see eventually Ukraine being reduced to rubble, and including Kiev. And if they can get Zelensky, they'll get him too. That's where I see this heading. John Mersheimer said this. He said, if it comes to it and Russia pushes... or if the West pushes Russia enough, eventually Putin will destroy the Ukraine. It will cease to exist as a state rather than allow it to be a puppet state of the West. And Putin will. And they keep saying, oh, they're giving them these crappy weapons and everything else. Again, from what I understand from people like Douglas McGregor and Scott Ritter and other sources that you see in RT, this stuff is just the complete opposite of what's true, you know?
Graham?
There was one very significant thing, actually. It just popped back into my head. I'm glad I remembered. You probably heard about the mass graves that they found. They said they found 430 mass graves Ukrainians that had been... they said about 100 of them had been killed by shrapnel. And... the rest of them seem to have been tortured and, or shot through the back of the head or whatever. I'm sure you must have heard that. There was a lot of fuss made about it. Luckily, some sharp-eyed person actually went on to Google Earth and noticed that the graves were there in those woods. That mass grave was there in those woods before February the 24th. Now, let that sink in.
Well, exactly. They're probably there from World War II or something.
Well, the Azov battalion are quite happy to blow up buildings with Ukrainians in them. They do it all the time and then try and blame the Russians. They've been caught at this. I mean, Amnesty International did 19 investigations into them using residential areas and hospitals and schools as firing positions. They did 19 investigations and found they were guilty in all 19 cases of using human shields. So they don't value their own people. In fact, they don't see them as their own people. They see themselves as an elite, Nazi group of nationalists and everyone else as plebs, basically.
Paul?
Well, that's true. Amnesty International did do a report on it, and that's kind of rare because,
Very rare.
Amnesty International themselves are, part of the controlled Western matrix of power. But somebody must have had a crisis of conscience there and decided to expose it as nonsense. But it didn't get any. You wouldn't see it on CNN or BBC or Sky News. We know what's going on. It's frustrating to watch. We don't know exactly what's going on there, but unless you're on the ground. But when you get reports and when you get people who know what they're talking about and you rely on their information, who do have people on the ground, pretty much everything the West says is BS. And what Putin says and the Russians say is much more true. If you listen to Lavrov at the UN, there was nothing that Lavrov said was untrue. Nothing. Not a single word. I wasn't feeling great last night, so I didn't do my show, but what his speech, it was a brilliant speech. He just he outlined the whole thing and the history of it, the hypocrisy, their complete unwillingness for diplomacy, and just all of it. And it's sad that people are so brainwashed that if CNN or Sky News or BBC News says something, they believe it like it's gospel, it's very frustrating to watch,
Yeah, there's a couple of things I was wanting to mention, Richard. I'm jumping back a couple of conversations, but
sure.
Speaking about the support for Russia, they've got a support of Belarus and Moldova and Bulgaria over in the...
Serbia.
And Serbia, yeah, over on Eastern Europe.
The Serbians, don't forget, being blown to pieces in Kosovo by the United States, of course. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. And Hungary are swinging a lot more back towards Russia as well and making, quite a lot of noises. But what people forget is, and the mainstream media never actually mention it, Russia actually occupy 40% of the European landmass. Russia. Never mind anyone else.
Yeah, and they have a huge amount of natural resources, wealth as far as rare earth minerals, I'm sure, in addition to the oil. And I mean,
they've got everything, Richard. They've got cement, wheat, obviously. They've got steel, copper in abundance. And rare earth minerals, they've got a load of them. Obviously, we all know about the oil and gas. But they're a granite exporter. They export granite. They've got all sorts of stuff going on. Their steel is very highly regarded in China. The Chinese love their steel.
Well, it is, though, part of Asia. I mean, that's why, we hear talk of the Eurasian shift. I mean, Europe and Israel will align with the economic powerhouses of Asia, namely Russia, China, and their allies, more and more as the West really through its own policies speeds up the decline as far as these. But I mean, that's largely what is being accomplished by this war as well. You know, I mean, the economic pit at the EU and even more so the U.S. in just sheer spending and obligations. But of course, the Europeans are feeling it already far more than us in the U.S. Don't get me wrong there, Paul and Graham. But
yeah. And also, as I say, you know, Poland have had their eyes, had their eye on Western Ukrainian territory. And don't think it's that crazy. Poland's desire to expand into Western Ukraine couldn't bring them along onto Russia's side as well, because if Russia reduces Ukraine to rubble, including Kiev, and now controls that whole territory, he now has the option of offering some of that territory to Poland for Poland support, who have their eye in that territory. And, you know, people think, oh, that sounds crazy. But it wasn't that long ago before you had Czechoslovakia, you know. Borders in Europe have been shifting not that long ago, and they can shift again. And now it's not in Putin's interest to have a united Europe. Putin doesn't care anymore if Europe splits up and fragments, because he now wants to. It's in his interest to weaken Europe as well. So you've got the United States pretending to be Europe's friend and essentially destroying that too, and using that and, you know, as a proxy and just again cannon fodder in an economic way. And now you've got Putin, who was previously an ally of, and wanted to be friends with Europe before they gave him the middle finger. It's not in his interest anymore that Europe's strong, because Europe's now hostile to him, you know?
Graham?
Absolutely. I think we had a chance in the early 90s. We had a chance to, just to have peace with Russia. They wanted to embrace Western values, Western fashions, all the rock music, all the bands were over performing in the Red Square and everything. They really thought, you know, they really thought there was a bright and rosy future, just being a democratic country and part of Europe. They really did. That's how they thought. I was over in Russia twice, and I know how the people think. And, you know, they were all, the people in the street, they were absolutely delighted that Russia had thrown its doors open. And, you know, they had all these big bands playing in the Red Square, the heavy metal bands and all sorts. And, NATO didn't like it, though, because NATO suddenly was redundant. So they had to make a place for themselves, create a place for themselves.
That's very true. A lot of them still do. A lot of Russians do still think, you know, or, you know, people in Ukraine, they still have memories of a lot of dark times, you know, particularly at the end, you know, of the Soviet Union and the poverty and the suffering. And they don't understand that things have changed. They still look to the West and still look to the United States as a, you know, beacon of entrepreneurialism and the American dream and all that. It's very difficult to explain to them, listen, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but, you know, the West is, you know, becoming more like the Soviet Union, you know, unless it gets a grip of itself. And it's sad that they still think this, you know, because they've never been to the United States particularly. And, you know, I don't think the people in the United States realize, you know, around the world and even in Europe, we grew up watching David Hasselhoff and Knight Rider and Baywatch and, you know, the American Dream and all these people got big houses and all this money and, you know, we live in poverty and all that. But, you know, we understand enough now to know that America has been stuck dry. And what's happening there, and the economy is about to collapse. I mean, it's going to be very bad there. I mean, you know, there's no way out of what's going to happen economically there. And then you're going to see a lot of pain in America and Europe. I mean, there's a spiritual thing going on, I think, both Europe and the United States, certainly. And I don't mean to insult anybody there who just got too fat on the calf and, you know, forgotten about God.
Well, we'll be right back. We have the last break. Stick around, folks, for the final segment.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
I'm an old slave girl. You raise my hopes, then you raise the odds. You tell me that I dream too much. Now I'm serving time in disillusionment. I don't believe you anymore. I don't believe you. I don't believe you anymore.
And we are back, folks, for the final segment, Beyond the Official Narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with Paul Edward Stevenson and Graham Sutherland. Let's see if we can go to the phones briefly. See, we have Joe in Florida. Hello, Joe. Hey, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hey, Richard. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Paul and Graham. I just wanted to throw out an idea and see what you guys think about it. So this is what I think. You know, Zelensky and Kolomoisky and his controllers, the Jewish mafia that run the U.S. State Department, they're actually, this effort is now what I would call ethnic cleansing of the Ukraine. They have waged war, sacrificing Ukraine citizens. They put them in the line of Russian fire on purpose to eliminate them. You remember at the beginning of this war, they actually evacuated Jews from Ukraine. I remember that Rabbi John Hagee, the Christian Zionist psychopath, actually had the TV commercial saying, oh, we have to evacuate the Jews from Ukraine. And then what did they do? Then they instituted, Zelensky, a draft. So it seems to me very likely that after they've killed, deliberately using human shields, tens of thousands of Ukrainians, they're going to move those Jews back into the country, and they will have ethnically cleansed Ukraine. What do you think?
I agree. Gentlemen?
There's a lot of truth to that. There's so many parallels between Israel-Palestine and what's happening in the Ukraine. I don't think it's going to be too easy for the Jews to go back in there, though. They had a different plan as to what would happen there in Ukraine, and Putin's got a different plan, and I think Putin's going to win out. So I don't think that there's going to be some nice new Israel there up in Eastern Europe for more Jews, because Putin knows who these people are. It frustrates me why he doesn't identify them, but I don't think there's going to be any Jews going back to Ukraine anytime soon.
Okay, well, that's what a lot of people are claiming, that that's going to be a second Israel, maintaining Israel nonetheless. Graham, you have a comment, response to the caller?
Well, yeah, remember last week I made the point that the Russians were calling them all home. The Israelis were calling all the Russian Jews home, telling them to get out, and the Ukrainians, tell them to come home. Because it was, well, dangerous, basically. And they've started moving, apparently. There's an exodus going on right now from both countries. The Jews going back to Israel from... they can't even speak Hebrew or anything, you know? They speak Russian.
Really? Oh, yeah. They're mainly from Brooklyn.
Yeah,
I was speaking about Russian Jews and Ukrainian Jews.
And what was that?
Okay,
Paul?
Yeah.
Paul, what were you going to say?
Well, the ones who are pulling the strings now were in Russia, at the beginning, their late 18th century or 19th century, early 20th century. You know, it's the descendants of the Jews who fled Russia back at the time of the Tsar. You know,
yes.
They were all in America.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you for the call, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. Pray for Russia and Ukraine.
And thank you, yes, Graham and Paul. A pleasure as always, gentlemen. Please support the station, folks. Absolutely. We will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Okay, Joe.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at susannasecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, secret.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.